Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
He don't know.
Seems like he's in denial.
Let the listeners decide. We're not Fox or CNN. I believe he's a heartbroken young man, confused. I can't get through. There's no stopping him. What do we do?
It's a click every time.
I'm putting my coat back on. The winds of change are blowing again.
Winter is coming. Who is this? Is it Ricky here?
Bobby, Ricky, or Mike?
Ronnie, Bobby, Ricky, and Mike. If I love the girl, who cares? Who do you like? Or is this Ralph? I mean, Ralph. He was everywhere.
Ralph Cram.
What's up, Riz? What's up, Tim? It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is 590 The Fan KFNS. Doug, other platforms include 105.7.
Okay, you don't have to say platforms. HD2.
InsideSTL.com.
Okay.
iTunes.
We have a guest on the line, so we're making it seem like we're bigger than we are. We have 17 different media platforms.
Yep.
We reach upwards of 14 people.
That's correct. Becoming a regular on the program, and we're enjoying it. We're enjoying it. And she actually offered to come into studio. We were trying to make it happen, but there's some meetings today in the city, and so coming out to St. Charles would have been a whole thing.
It's so glamorous in here. That's probably why she wanted to come.
Yeah. Well, also, you might catch a cold the temperatures varying. Mm-hmm.
See some stars.
And then we were talking about meeting in a central location such as Kirkwood Brewhouse, but like I said, there were some schedule issues, so we didn't wind up doing it. So nonetheless, really one of the headliners of yesterday's MLS development. I don't know if I can say it. I'm going to say it, though. Doug, friend of the show.
Let her weigh in.
Sixth Ward Alderwoman, Christine Ingracia. Good morning, Christine.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up? How are you? Doug?
Yeah, hello. You still there?
We already offended her.
Well, that was a short interview.
See, Miles Drick, it'll back her on the line.
Hey, how you doing? See you later.
You still can count it on the board.
I'm not going on a show to talk about a serious issue where they're playing Mr. Telephone Man as a return music.
That sealed our fate right there.
If we don't cool it now, would she have stayed on?
I think so.
Yeah. That's for the 9 o'clock hour.
Oh, is it? God, I kind of want to hear Can You Stand the Rain so you guys can understand that's my jam.
Okay.
That's what I meant, Tim.
Thank you.
I guess once these older men and women got things figured out, they said, that's it. We're not going on that show anymore. We'll pop in and say hi, but adios.
Seamaster's back there on the phone giggling. It's like when producer Joe used to do his own show back there. Like he would do a green room interview with the guests, and I'd be like, just put the phone down so I can put them on.
He was on a show with Seattle for a while.
Yeah, Mitch in the Morning.
Yeah, during our show.
Yeah. Where's Joe? He's back doing Mitch's show. Who the F is Mitch? It's a guy in Seattle. It's 7 in St. Louis. That guy's on at 5 in Seattle. And my producer, who I pay, is doing another show. The chain of command is so screwed up. All right, Christine Ingracia is back, and now I hear tell that she enjoys a new edition. Is all this stuff accurate, Christine?
It's all true.
Wow. Your favorite new edition beat, if you would.
Negative. I'm not gonna perform this morning.
No. My God, I wouldn't ask you to sing. I just was curious if
she just hung up on us, Tim. Don't push her.
If she had a favorite new edition song, that's all I was. I wasn't going to ask you to sing. I would never do that.
I'm terrible with names of songs and albums, but I did enjoy what I was hearing to talk to you a few minutes ago.
Mr. Telephone Man. Christine Ingracia, the alderwoman from the 6th Ward with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. It was one of the most fascinating 120, 150 minutes to follow on Twitter yesterday.
Confusing too
with what was going on. You were in there, you were in the trenches. What did you think starting at around 10:30 or so, I guess, when the MLS discussion got going until its conclusion with the vote moving it forward?
Well, I was not super confident going in. I mean, I knew that we had ended up in a place where I felt I had been asking, you know, at the very minimum that it would be, you know, revenue neutral for the city, that we wouldn't be negatively impacting the credit rating, things of that sort, but wasn't really confident that I would have the votes to get it out of committee. And so really commend my colleague, Scott Ogilvie, who I've been, you know, talking about this deal with behind the scenes. He's a smart municipal finance guy and really a great representative for the city. So was really happy that he threw out the entertainment tax piece, because that is something that we had been trying to get the ownership group to do, and they were not negotiating on that point. And so when we had the votes come out, you know, not in favor of moving forward this proposal, I was able to work with the ownership group and Alderman Ogilvie to come to a compromise that I think was a really great deal for the city.
The process was fascinating. The Ways and Means Chairman Steve Conway actually voted against the proposal, even though he was for it, just because if you vote with the side that wins, you can reconsider the measure. Was that all in the planning on the fly? Did you know that that was eventually going to work out?
No, I did not know it was eventually going to work out. But I will say we have rules, and if you know the rules well, they're kind of fun to play with and can be to your advantage, which is one of the reasons why when people first heard I took the MLS proposal at all, they kind of couldn't believe it, because I'm not generally a fan of public funding for stadium financing, but because it was my bill, I could control it and manipulate the rules to sort of at least get us to the place where we were yesterday. But one of the rules that we do have that you mentioned is that if you vote on the prevailing side of an issue, you can make a motion to reconsider and change your vote. So Alderman Conway was smart to do that so that we were able to continue talking.
And so now, as I understand it, it goes to a vote of all the aldermen, and then if it passes there, it goes to a vote of the people. How do you expect that will go?
Well, I'm optimistic at this point. So we still haven't actually discussed and passed out of committee the actual financial proposal. It was definitely referenced yesterday. What yesterday's bill did was move to second reading today, putting the ballot language for both the economic development tax increase, which will increase the use tax, and then we'll ask the voters if they approve using that use tax increase on an MLS stadium. So it still needs to be debated on the floor and then finally passed for the Board of Elections to get it. And then next week we'll be discussing the board bills that talk about the entertainment tax and the actual financial proposal.
So it's three hurdles. It's the two alderman votes on the tax proposal and putting it up for a public vote. And then the public would have to vote yes, right? Three hurdles? Is that how you see
it? Yes, that's correct. Absolutely. And in order for the use tax to go up, the economic development tax that we discussed yesterday also has to go up, and that would fund a minimal operable segment for North-South Metrolink.
Now, what is your sense of how the people will go with this? The St. Louis Business Journal just put out a poll polled Democratic primary voters, and it said 61% were opposed to it. Usually these polls reflect whatever news, good or bad, has gone on behind the scenes for a specific issue. This is good news. I would imagine that more people will be on board with it in the wake of the good day that the bill had yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that when we negotiate and view the city as an asset and not as a place where we just have to rubber stamp everything because we're desperate for development, we're passing along something to the voters that I'm actually, you know, I would consider voting for myself. And I was not there, even myself yesterday, debating it in committee. It was at a minimum place where I thought we would be okay. But this is actually going to bring some revenue into the city coffers, which is unlike any deal we've had for a stadium project in St. Louis to date.
And what's the
uphill battle, but, you know, I think that the soccer ownership folks know that, and I'm really pleased that we were able to get something that we can put a much more positive spin on when we talk to our residents.
And what's the status of the proposal for money to improve Scott Trade?
That is on hold, and to be quite honest, I was focused on other things yesterday and did not pay attention in great detail to that discussion, but I'm very concerned about that deal. I mean, that is a deal that's taking money directly out of our general revenue, and I just don't think it makes sense for the city. But the votes aren't there, obviously, because it was held again in committee.
Why specifically, Christine? Because I know a lot of Blues fans hear that and they get concerned. So why specifically do you feel it doesn't make sense for the city?
Well, the $4 million that comes out of general revenue just off the top isn't something that our finances can handle at this point. We're looking at, as Paul Payne has testified, our budget director at a $20 million shortfall right now for next fiscal year, and we always have to balance our budget, so cuts are going to have to come somewhere, and I don't think spending $4 million on hockey is the best way to do it. So hopefully we'll be able to make something smarter happen. I know that there are discussions. You know, the treasurer's office owns the parking garage that's attached to Scott Trade, and they have enough money to help with that piece of it, and I think that's probably a smarter way to go.
Have you talked to Ogilvy about that? Because when he was in, he felt optimistic about it based on the fact that it's not just hockey. There are a ton of events at Scott Trade, and it does need some upgrades.
Well, you know, I think that there's obviously still concern on the part of the Ways and Means Committee, or it would have passed out yesterday. So,
kind of a maybe a little bit off the beaten path, but in terms of raising money for the city, does the city get much at all out of the arch? I mean, when that whole project is done, does the city get all that? Is that all federal money?
Yeah, we don't have a revenue stream coming in from that project. It was kind of interesting. I mean, I think this is the first of its kind in the nation where a city is funding with a local revenue stream a federal park, which I thought sort of sent a bit of a dangerous precedent. But, you know, I'm assuming the more intangible costs with respect to tourism and things like that, I would imagine it's probably a good deal for the city. I don't really know the numbers on that, though.
You know, getting back to the other proposal, and it's really out of our pay grade because it's complex and you have to have some intelligence to really understand it. But this Northside Development District with Paul McKee, right, as I understand it, he has to agree to not take his 50%. And I remember, I think I'm quoting it correctly, saying that you felt good about it, meaning that he would be on board with that.
Right. Yeah, it's one of the deals that we had been working on and weren't able to get actually Mr. McKee to sign off on that before the committee hearing yesterday. But the talks that are ongoing, I feel positive about. And the money that he would be giving up would just be, it would be half of $10 million. So $5 million would be redirected into the project site itself. So, and that's part of the land and part of the Northside Regeneration Project. It's super complicated because there's a TIF already in place there and a process that has to occur legally if we want to actually take that land out of the regeneration project and not have that little portion be part of the TIF. But if we just get him to agree instead of a lengthy legal process, I think we'll be much better off.
And you think he will do that?
Do you? Christian, Doug, we lose you.
Doug, that was rude.
She'd had enough again.
We somehow lost her. It's unfortunate. Uh-huh. Well, Christine, you there? Now I heard something. I heard a rustling.
I hear whistle.
And now I heard a disconnection. All right. Well, things. You know what, Doug? Things happen.
I don't know.
So Christina Gracia with us here. The MLS from that standpoint, I think a number of people were on board with where this thing went, including those who were not necessarily for it 24 hours ago. Christine would be one of those people. And certainly Scott Ogilvy would be another one. But I think the thing that I take away perhaps most from that is her concern / lack of optimism for the Scott Trade Center renovations. Whereas somebody who I kind of feel like, I don't think it's fair to say she's in lockstep with because it makes it look like it's an alliance, but I feel like they come from a similar school of thought. Scott Ogilvy said in our studio just a couple of days ago that he considers it, and I think I'm correct in using the term certain.
Yeah, he did.
That it will get done at some point this year. And that is certainly not where Christine was coming
from. That's
why
I was
shocked. Her perspective, yeah.
I mean, and Scott explained why he felt it was in a good place to get something done based on the fact that it's not just Blues hockey. It does bring in a lot of revenue, and it's a property that you have to maintain. I think he used the analogy, if you have a house, you got to maintain it. Same thing for Scott Trade.
Seamaster, if you would, don't worry about getting her back. We had her on for 15 minutes, and I'm sure she, I know she has a meeting this morning anyway. But if you could get that audio from where she's discussing the Scott Trade Center renovations, we could play that for Scott Ogilvie when he joins us at 9 o'clock. Doug, this is this really is turning into Meet the Press, mm-hmm. except with occasional adult film star retirements thrown in.
They do that on Meet the Press,
Chuck
though.
Todd is starting to get back to it. It was something that Russert right. did, and then I felt like David Gregory got away from, which might have been why he lost the gig, I'll be honest with you.
And going way back, I think maybe John Cameron Swayze had Seiko on a few times.
You know what they were scared to do, though, even when they did cross over, is to discuss which adult film stars... have resemblance to hammerhead sharks.
Yeah, there's just the one, I think.
Iggy released the rest of his top 30 yesterday. Kind of stunned the fan page really? When he did it.
Just kind of a top 30 dump, was it?
Yeah. Do you regret things? I feel like it might have been an emotional backlash on your part to the criticism, especially the hammerhead shark thing.
No, not really. I mean, this stuff doesn't bother me. I mean, it comes with the territory. You know... You're going to get trashed, and you know
we all do.
List makers get trashed.
Yeah, I don't care. I decided yesterday. It's just 30 is just too many.
That's a lot.
That's too big of a list.
Top See, I was 10. Going to unveil a top 200. So 40? Now you're saying 30 is too many.
Yeah, when I said, well, I still got 22 more to go.
Yeah, but you did 30 male vocalists.
I know, and that was getting monotonous too. So I don't know why I did 30, but I actually did it to help out the a couple of the fan page members.
By releasing an adult film star ranking?
Yeah, because...
Help anyone. Let them speak, because I have to hear the response.
Well, I'm not going to give their names. All of them have two first names, which I find kind of odd. And two of them actually...
Like Jan Michael Vincent had.
Yeah.
Like Doug Anthony or Tim Andrew, whatever. It's just like two first names. But their jokes were getting old, and I felt bad for them because it was getting embarrassing. You know, the hammerhead shark thing I thought was amusing the first time. But when you do it for the next 8 porn stars.
Sure.
Another shark? Another shark?
So yesterday
And the tranny talk. And it just got old.
Wait, was there a lot of shark references yesterday on the fan page?
Yesterday, I think they went back and forth trying to drop fish references. I think he Finn... In to finish it.
Makes me want to join the fan base. I have to be honest. It makes me want to.
Come on in, the water's warm. You'll love it.
He had me hooked. Was this number 31? Another picture of a shark. So I was feeling bad for these guys because their jokes were getting old. And I said, you know what? If I keep posting it for 22 more days, they're going to keep doing the same thing and they're going to make fools of themselves.
I just
said, you know what? I'll help the guys out.
Iggy,
go ahead, get your last
guy.
Things out of the way
Iggy,
and then move on to something
guy.
Else.
You work on a show. That uses jokes that are old, that recycles the same thing day.
I agree.
Day after day. So, of course, that's going to be reflected by the fan page.
But it's in a different, like the text and the emails, all about Doug, but they're done in a funnier way.
They are.
They're really.
Okay, so what you're
sure.
saying.
As long as it's somebody
what you're
else
saying, if it's
taking the abuse.
If it's attacking Doug, it's okay. But if you happen to mention Hammerhead Shark, you are out of bounds,
no,
mister.
No, I mean, I heard the tranny emails and that, but they're different. If you put a little effort into it and put a different twist on it, it's entertaining. But when you use the same thing every day.
Another shark. Did she used to be a tranny? Well, what was it? What was that girl's name before she became a girl? What was a man's?
I mean, it's getting old, and right. It wasn't upsetting me. But I said, you know what? I feel for these three guys. Yeah, because they're really
who
making
are these
fools
guys?
Of
I don't know who these guys are.
Well, here you can. I'm not going to put them because they may be friends of yours, and I don't want to embarrass them. There's the three names:
Paul Michael Doug. Glaser.
Would you like me to read the three names?
And they were just. It was getting embarrassing for them. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to dump them all. Let them get their shark and their tranny and how old were they when they had sex questions out of the way. Go ahead. Yeah. And then we'll move on to something else. And you'll have time to come up with some new jokes because you're really just embarrassing yourselves.
Iggy, on this show, we have made a joke about the consigliere in 43 straight shows.
And we do it in a different way, though.
Yeah, we're trying to
you don't say the same thing every day, do you?
Yes, pretty much. But it was something about P.F. Chang's.
But I'll say
how great the Cardinals are going to be.
Because then these three guys got into a discussion with each other that I looked at one of their fan pages and they basically just post back and forth to each other. So I'm guessing they're like sitting there with their laptops and their pants around their ankles waiting for me to post the top 30 porn
stars.
Okay,
easy.
There it is. There it is. Get the sharks ready.
Who was number one, by the way?
Christy Canyon. So anyway, I just
Does that surprise you, Doug?
No, I don't know who that is.
So
is that a picture of you with Christy Canyon on the post?
Yeah, that was the old Webster Studios.
Oh, she dropped by the Webster Studios, did she?
With Ron Jeremy.
Is that what made her number one? Because you kind of met her.
No, I've been a fan of hers for many years.
Now, Tracy Lords was number two.
Yeah, that got some play, too. Went back to the... Look, I didn't... I've never seen the illegal videos because they weren't there.
Doug, the issue with Tracy Lords, of course, just to refresh our audience's memory, is that she was busted for being underage.
Oh, no.
But nobody knew.
No.
I mean, the entire industry was fooled. And there's people, I guess, when they released them, people saw it, but they didn't know they were doing anything wrong because she said she was 22. I've only seen one of her videos.
Enough to leave a real impression.
Yes, I love you, Tracy. And I think she had four scenes in there.
And you're still running from the law because of it.
No, she was legal. Oh. I didn't see any of the illegal ones. I didn't get into porn as early as a lot of people think. I wasn't like 15 watching porn.
Has there been a running discussion on when Iggy started getting into adult film?
Well, you would think as much as I know about porn, I've been watching it since I was a young kid, but I haven't. But I saw that movie and I said, not only is she drop dead gorgeous, but she loves porn. She was made to be a porn star. So it's always stuck with me that I just found her. And then she got into mainstream stuff, Married with Children, and did some movies. And
she played the role of Peg Bundy.
No, she was a dentist. She was a dentist assistant in an episode. And she flaunted her sexuality, but I always thought she was hot. And I love you, Iggy. I love you, Tracy.
What are we talking about?
Is a
he's like having a stroke.
What are we talking about now? It was a
really good movie, and I loved her in that. But yeah, then you knew those were going to come out. Oh, you know she was underage. Yeah, I know that. I didn't watch the underage one. And if you did, you're not in trouble anyway because they released them. They were in video stores. She was 22 years old, supposedly. I think Ron Jeremy and Christy Canyon were in movies with her and said, we had no idea.
Where was Tipper Gore on that one?
Told everybody she was 22 years old. We didn't know. She stole somebody's passport and their identity and became this person, Jessica Noonbaum, I think, something like that.
Doug, who is Jessica Noonbaum?
I don't have any idea.
I don't know who that is.
That's the name she stole to get into porn. Then she changed her name to Tracy Lords. But anyway,
probably a good strategy.
Yeah, anyway, you knew those were coming. And I said, you know, whatever. It's just getting old. So to answer some of those questions that I had my feelings hurt, and, you know, grow a pair, get thicker skin, blah, blah. That had nothing to do with it. It had to do with 30 is too many. And I said, my God, I got 22 more of these to go. And I just wanted to help the fan guys out that are trying to be funny and were just embarrassing themselves.
Whose list was this? It was your list. Who cares what people say?
I don't care.
My new edition.
I don't care
Ricky and Mike.
If he loves the list, who cares who you like?
It didn't bother me that if they didn't agree with my picks. Like yesterday, Beercat said, I can't believe Caden Cross wasn't on there. And I said, in all fairness, she's hot. She's a friend of the show. I've never seen any of her work. So I can't put Caden Cross in there. Yeah, love her. I've never seen anything from her. That's why she wasn't on there.
I don't
get mad when people say I don't agree with that. That's the whole point of it. But when you come up with the same jokes every day about hammerhead sharks,
there's only so many jokes you can make about
it. I find that funny.
After you do the eyes on the side of your head, where do you go from there?
You could go Mako. You could go tiger shark. There's a lot of sharks,
but they're not as funny as.
But you're embarrassing yourself. Look, I'll do you a favor. I'll end it here. Get all your hammerhead sharks out of the way and your tranny talk out of the way, and then maybe come up with some new jokes on other posts so you don't make a fool of yourself.
What is the next list going to be? I'm sure it's going to be shorter, but
it'll be a top 10 list. A top 30.
I want to know.
I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
But it will be your list.
Well, maybe I'll get your input, too, and we'll do a Cat and Iggy list of top 10 somethings.
What do you want to do, like favorite baked goods? Because I like a nice cheese Danish.
I'm doing top 10 frozen foods.
That'll be fun. Really? I got sponsored by Stouffer's.
Yeah, you can go into the pizza realm, my favorite, the mini corn dog realm.
Oh, jeez.
They're good.
Pizza would be number one there. Right?
And I'm sure that the three guys with the two first names, their first responsibility.
This is like the gang of six. What is the three guys with the two first names?
Shall I read the names? Plausy,
that tastes like shark meat.
Shark meat. Be good. Hammerhead.
I'm on the page, and nothing stands out to me.
Well, if you go down, there's like nine replies.
All right, I'm going on there.
Nine replies.
I see a guy named Ruhi.
No, he's talking about Timothy Andrew, Andrew Douglas, and Matt Kevin.
And these guys gang up on you, Iggy?
Not me, just the post. And then they go back and forth answering. Thanks for sticking up for me, buddy. I need that. That's good for you. And they're just talking.
And this
to
goes
each other.
On in the thread.
They sound like maybe they're about 12 years old.
I said
Matt, Kevin and Timothy Andrew, about sixth graders.
Someone suggests a top 10 list of sharks.
Well, they'll be all over that one. So I'm just helping them out.
I don't
out.
See them Cameron saying, nice job, buddy. Thanks for sticking up for me. Where does that go
no,
on?
No, they were talking to each other.
Where?
He said something. They were talking about Ryan and Kenny, and it wasn't
who's
me.
Who's Ryan and Kenny?
I don't know.
I'd go Great White, but Beer Cats,
okay.
And some guy named races. Kenny said something, and they said, the keyboard gangsters ganged up on you, blah, blah, blah. They went again, and then they started talking about those two. And, hey, you want to answer them? You know what to say? Okay. Thanks for sticking up for me, buddy. That's okay. I just need the attention. They're talking to each other in the thread.
About a hammerhead joke?
And then the more shark things came. So I just said, you know what? You're making fools of yourself. I'll dump it all.
Dump the whole list at that point.
And let you get your shark comments out of the way now. Gosh. Your training comments. Get it in. And then move on to something else and find some new jokes because you're embarrassing yourself. It doesn't upset me if you don't agree with my porn stars. I couldn't care less.
I will say, though, that the hammerhead thing when we first...
Yes. I even found it funny.
Maybe that should be on our logo.
But with nine more porn stars...
Kind of like siblings.
Yeah. Every porn star became a shark reference. Oh, it was funny the first time. Let's do it again. No, you
yeah,
do it,
they,
Andrew.
But they
okay,
probably
I'll do
brought
Kevin.
In different types of sharks, you know? Like a Mako. Yeah,
same
no?
pictures of sharks. It don't matter. So it's just I did them a favor to move on to something else.
People like different types of sharks. Tim, you know that.
I got an idea, Iggy. How about a top 10 list of reasons for you not to do a list ever again?
Okay.
Better yet, have Tim put a top 10 list together about anything, really, and I'll be all about that. Holla back now. That's from Jose De Leon. Had a lot of losses one season, but also a lot of strikeouts. Kind of fun. Kind of fun little statistic.
I'm all for that, too, for Timmy to post something.
What is this?
I would follow
Shark
Timmy's.
Music.
And this is Lucy Wilde appearing on set.
You remember her name. Thank you.
Not you know, the in West Side Story, the Jets' main rival was the Sharks, and Chino got stabbed. He got, right?
Emotional
Chino.
Scene.
Someone cut him.
And I think Natalie Wood said, please make it don't be true.
That was he said it?
Natalie Wood said it in the Spanish accent?
I think so.
And the funny thing is, if you look at, like, Ashlyn Brooke, who is drop-dead gorgeous. There's nothing bad you can say about her. If you don't think she should be in the top 30,
she kind of looks
great.
A little bit like Brie Olsen.
Yeah, she does. But she's gorgeous. So there was no bad comments in there. So they stayed away from that one. There's nothing in there from them because if they had made it, that looks like a shark. Well, nobody else commented that she looked bad, so you would have looked like really fools by saying something bad. So you stay out of the good-looking ones. But then the other ones that people have a few things to say about, then you jump in. Like sharks in the water yourself. Blood in the water. Here they come. Another shark. Okay. So it's not funny anymore, boys. So here, I'll dump them all, get it out of the way,
and you
and
did
move
that
on.
As a community service.
I did it to help these three guys out because they were making fools of themselves.
Yeah. What's your take on Brent Burns? Plays for the Sharks. See, I went to too
now
much.
Now you're taking.
Yeah. That was my
Well,
bad.
That's over the head of people that don't follow the Sharks hockey team.
When you're a jet all the way from your first cigarette. Now, that's a musical. I don't know about this La La Land. Mm-hmm.
So I'll answer that. No, it didn't upset me. I didn't do it because screw them. I'm dumping it. Stop. No, I just 30 is too many. And I just wanted to help those three guys out with making fools.
Well,
of
it's
themselves.
Good to know after your 22-minute speech that you were not upset by this.
Do we have something else to get to?
No, I was just saying.
Well, actually, yeah, because
we cleared the
I'm
air.
Sorry.
We actually don't.
Larry just released another Periscope this morning.
Oh, did he?
Called Friday Morning.
Well, appropriate.
And Seamaster is grabbing that audio. And then we also have your drops of the week. We have your Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts.
Which are kind of similar.
And the drops are quick hits. The cuts are a little longer. We let it breathe. Plowhawk, because we have this jam-packed 9 o'clock hour with Scott Ogilvie and Mike Falk, plus our Hot Shots email of the day, we're going to move up the drops of the week and the Bertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the week, plus Brad Lee from St. Louis Game Time, who I thought was outstanding on the show.
He was good.
Earlier
good.
This week.
Yep.
I'd like to have him more involved with the station. He's going to join us to talk about the Blues. What did the Blues win last night? By
no,
the
they got whooped again.
I don't understand.
It was a spirit win. That's
oh, that's right. You said spirit win.
They hung in there for a while, and then goals started going in by the bushel load. 5-1.
Still got a spirit win. No,
right.
No points for that. But in the spirit standings, you're okay.
Plow
All-Star break. Here is the Iggy's drops of the week.
He's on his knees under the table with a handful of curious digits.
Crystal ball's a little cloudy this morning.
Don't know how you could jam that all in there.
You idiot.
The little perv boy. Lord and Lady Douchebag.
He had the biggest balls in Eureka.
There are trannies that can be attractive.
They have a tranny of the year contest.
She's a tiny little Latin thing. Can I say anal?
The cackling hen of porn.
Most beautiful breast I've ever seen, and then a penis.
Oh, with no. Tushy.
And a rogue tranny shows up.
Find some filly ugly as a mud fence. And you like a nude prison scene? He keeps trying to stroke my hand every time I adjust the knob. So.
There's a lot of gay stuff in that, isn't there?
There's nothing wrong with him, Billy.
I have resting bitch face.
By the way, I am a boob and ass guy.
I didn't have a bag of chips and two sodas. I had a cup of coffee and was just making a day of it.
What's the jackhammer?
Well, it's a guy's prison, yeah.
Oh, gee, Minnie Iggy. You have a gay co-host. He died after making toast.
God, you're having a big day, buddy. Your drops of the day are going to be like 50 of you.
You're a little twink figure.
Oh, that's so right. He's a bottom.
No, he was a top.
Teabag situation. Once I put on the singlet, barriers get broken down, bro.
I'm going to do our show, get done, and then just pour ourselves a scotch and hang out on that patio.
But anyway, I try to surprise you, Timmy.
Yeah. It's going to be a great fight. Blah, blah,
blah. If you let me finish, Kat.
Right there on your chest.
His handle on Twitter is Nigel Dictator.
Give the ball to Broad Bron.
Little bitty brown guy with white hair.
Boy pigs are bottoms on my property. Swallow it! What do you want to do a dog like that for?
Kiki Chuck.
Ow!
But he's been doing all dudes lately for some reason.
You'd rather go and be Stan Kroenke's butt boy there? You'd rather be play second fiddle there?
Well, if you're banging your brother, you're up for pretty much anything.
Once you bang your brother, I don't know how much I need my whole rock. Oh, Trezzy, yeah, I think he went out with a number of fine hoes. What would you do to make it more Foot Fetish Friday friendly? Well, it doesn't get any cooler than watching television. Okay, that'll do it for this show.
So we did.
All right, so it's 9 o'clock. No, 10 o'clock. We go home.
Oh, gosh.
Still journalism.
Much of that was taken out of context.
I don't believe that.
A lot of it was.
Sometimes you're vile.
No, no.
Yes, sometimes you are,
sometimes
sir.
My words are construed differently than how they're meant.
Vile.
Not me.
You can email in a fan page discussing Iggy, discussing not being bothered by the fan page. Doug, if you want to join in. Matt, who bowls at Hank, says Iggy has jumped the shark.
See, now that's new. That's new. You're a new twist on it.
Who's that from?
Matt, who bowls at Hank.
And we already gave away Texas.
We did.
Today. Matt, you would have won. Right?
Grandpa's war buddy. Doug, shave them. Shave them real nice, like, and have yourself smooth and soft skin for the weekend with Harry's Razors. For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. Well, now you can switch, just like I did, to Harry's Razors. You'll be so much happier once you do. Harry's knew there was only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their entire factory, and by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, weighted ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. Free, free, free. You heard that right. Just cover the shipping when you sign up. Plus, as a special offer for fans of the show, go to harrys.com right now, HARRYS.com, right now, and enter promo code INSIDESTL at checkout to get a post-shave balm also free. That's harrys.com, promo code INSIDESTL. Harry's Razors, a sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Ryan Kelly, the title sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After in the Squared Circle, 3 weeks from tonight. Doug, please tell the audience why they need to do business with Ryan Kelly and do it now.
Well, because he's simply the best mortgage guy, not just in the Midwest, but anywhere in the country. You would think by now, Everyone would have refinanced with rates just at historic lows for a long time. They're starting to sneak back up. I was talking to Ryan about why people haven't financed or refinanced yet. And he said one of the biggest reasons is they don't think their home will appraise high enough. Home values are skyrocketing. So maybe even if you've tried in the past and your house didn't appraise, maybe now it will. Plus, Ryan Kelly closes loans all the time without an appraisal. So don't let that be something to say, well, I don't know. I don't want to go through the process because we'll get down to the appraisal and it won't be enough. Very good chance that that is not the case at all, and Ryan Kelly can show you how to do it. Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team work hard so you don't have to. If you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why would you go anywhere else? Call Ryan at 314-781-97.
What's wrong?
Call Ryan Kelly at 314-781-9700 or visit the Home Loan Expert team. .com. I have refinanced with Ryan Kelly twice in the last, I guess it's been about 6 years now. Both times, very smooth and easy, and both times saving money. You can save tens of thousands of dollars over the life of a loan. So get it done.
Ryan Kelly in the Squared Circle. 3 weeks from tonight at the South Broadway Athletic Club. And boy, oh boy, huh?
Huh, Doug?
Boy. Boy, oh boy. One thing, when you talk about this South Broadway Athletic Club, there's been a lot of disputes settled in the Squared Circle there, and certainly this will be the most recent one.
It's been blood, sweat, and tears, Doug.
Yeah, the gritty. It's a gritty venue. If you've never been there before, it is kind of fun to look around in that place.
Yeah, they play like fuzzball in there. Yeah. They set up cages.
I bet that place goes back 100 years.
Yeah. That's where we want to have a historic venue for a night we make history.
Right. Some of those buildings in Soulard are even older than that, aren't they? They go back to the 1800s.
On a night we make kiss. Did you just say that and try to sneak that in?
What night we make history.
Just saying. Hammerhead Sharks, huh?
We're going to go back to that again.
How about that hole? How about that hole?
We're going to bring that back.
And for the record, I did not read these names. Doug did.
What happened? Why are you saying that?
You don't get to be a troll on a website anonymity.
It's two first names.
Yeah, I didn't say their names. Doug read them out.
Their first names.
I know, I'm sure it'll go on the fan page that, hey, Iggy's calling people out. I didn't read the names, so.
I did.
Okay.
Timothy Andrew, Andrew Douglas, Matt Kevin, those names. Sixth graders, I believe.
Doug, you know, most of the program today is and has been focused on the MLS vote.
And Hammerheads.
And a slight reference to Hammerheads. Scott Ogilvie at 9 o'clock, the alderman for the 24th Ward, will be with us here in about 18 minutes. And then Mike Falk, who covered it for the Post-Dispatch, will be with us at 9:30, plus the Hot Shots email today. Pertarelli Cutlery Cuts of the Week. But last night, the Blues finished off the pre-All-Star break portion of their schedule and had a little rough one. And from St. Louis Game Time, he was in studio with us a couple days ago. Ladies and gentlemen, Brad Lee, back with us on the Appliance Discounters phone lines. Brad, good morning.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you back on. Enjoyed having you on a couple days ago and wanted to have you back after a game like that last night. What went wrong?
I don't know if we have enough time to cover everything, but you know, I think it boils down to a couple key points. One is Carter Hutton can be a good goaltender in spurts, but the more you have him exposed as a starter, you know, I think he's going to show his shortcomings. And while I agree with the decision to start him, you know, he gets a shutout in Pittsburgh, a game that no one saw coming, a game no one thought the Blues could pull off. You want to reward that. And that's big on the team, because if a guy goes out there and does what you hope he can do and exceeds expectations and, you know, puts a shutout against one of the best teams in the league, you have to reward that for any sort of spirit victory like the Cat was talking about a few minutes ago. If they went back to Jake Allen and didn't let Hutton start, I mean, you're going to lose the team. So that's the first thing. But, you know, I think if you look over Hutton's career, you know, he's 30 years old and he's a career backup. He's really not going to be an emerging opportunity. You know, he's really not in a place to take the reins as a starting goaltender. So I think that's the first thing. And the second thing is, you know, you're playing a division game at home right before the All-Star break. You know, I'm not going to say that the Penguins thought that it was going to be a no-brainer they were going to win on Tuesday, but they did not compete at the level that the Wild did last night. And the Wild are a faster team. They can be a little more scrappy, and they are balanced. What the Blues have done the last couple of years in the playoffs, especially last year, the depth and scoring they had up and down the lineup, where you had two or three lines who could score a night. That's what Minnesota has right now. And I think they have six players with 30-plus points already. I mean, they could get a goal from any line at any time. And that's kind of what happened. And it was, you know, one goal turned into three goals, turned into five goals. And it quickly got away from them.
I thought that, you know, the depth eventually wore down the Blues, where in the last game they didn't have a huge turnover that led to goals. They had a few bad turnovers. Some led to goals, some didn't. But I did think the positive is that you got a place to put Jake Allen back out there where nothing's on the line. If that helps him recuperate, then it's a good thing. He, you know, saw three shots, so now you hit the break, and hopefully when he comes back, he'll be the Jake Allen we saw earlier in the season.
Hopefully, but, I mean, the flip side of that is he that fragile that you had to wait till they scored the fifth goal to put him in, and obviously Minnesota was going to be taking the pressure off, and, you know, they weren't going to have their foot on the gas and play as hard the rest of the game. If that's the situation, man, I hope he's not that fragile mentally that he couldn't have gone in when it was a tighter game and when there would have been more pressure. But, I mean, hopefully the last week, 8 days for him, I mean, it's got to be a nightmare. And hopefully he can get himself past that. And, you know, the more time that passes, the more of a reset that can actually happen for him in his mind and with his level of play.
Blues brought up Barbashev last night to make his debut. How'd he look to you?
We didn't get to see much of him. I mean, I think what I saw the first two periods, he had four shifts in the first period, and he had four shifts in the second, and he was centering the fourth line. So Kyle Brosiak goes down with a broken foot, and they slide him in between Upshaw and Reeves, who admittedly had scored on Tuesday night, but you don't expect them to be a sustained offensive force. And so you get a guy up with his first look at the NHL, and he's a talented guy. He's a skill guy. He's not a mucker. He's not a grinder. He's not a defensive fourth line guy. He's, you know, a scoring threat. And they didn't put him in a scoring threat situation. And then even, you know, when the game's out of hand in the third period, they could have put him on a line, say, with Tarasenko or Fabry or, you know, who knows, David Perron, and could have tested, okay, here's 10 minutes. Here's a couple shifts. Here's some offensive wingers. Let's see if you can create something. And Ken Hitchcock deliberately didn't do that. So I think the jury is obviously still out on him. You know, he didn't get a lot of ice time. He didn't get a lot of offensive zone time. And, you know, I think it'll be interesting to see. He's probably going to go back to Chicago during the All-Star break. It'll be interesting to see if he comes back or if they bring up another guy to give an opportunity and what specifically role they want that player that comes up from Peoria. Do they want it to be a guy who's going to be in the top three lines, or is it going to be a guy in the fourth line? And that really could dictate who they call back up from Chicago after the break.
You know, Patrick Berglund got that first goal, and I think he went on a tear. And I know some Blues fans get frustrated. What do you think they have in Berglund?
Well, it's all about expectations. You know, he's still making less than $4 million a year. I think it's like 3.6, 3.7, something like that is his cap hit, which is not, you know, it's good money, but it's not $5, $6, $7 million a year. The promise he showed early in his career was that he could be a legitimate number one or number two center. He's got the height, he's got the reach, he's got the hands, the vision on the ice. And that's what he showed earlier in his career. And then it was just an up and down roller coaster type thing where he would have a good year followed by a subpar year. And it got to the point where a lot of fans got fed up with the fact that, you know, he could be in a game and the announcers might not say his name for a period or two. He could be invisible. Last year, after he came back from the shoulder surgery, and he was healthy finally, he really was a difference maker down the stretch. I thought he played tremendous in the playoffs, where he wasn't necessarily creating plays and creating offense and wasn't that force that you would hope for, but he was doing a lot of little things. He was back checking. He was creating havoc in the neutral zone. He was really smart with the puck. And I think there have been long stretches this season where he has been a difference maker, even when he's not scoring goals. And I think he really has found a niche, and he's comfortable in that third line. They can play him at center. They can play him at wing, depending on what they need at the time. And I think he's been important to the team. The question is, how much is that worth going forward with the salary cap? I think they would want him to be with the Blues long term. I think his contract is up after this season or next season. So it should be interesting to see how they view his contributions and what they think that's worth on the team.
When this season began, it seemed as though the consensus was the Blues had a chance to be a contender again, maybe go as far as they did last year. And now, clearly, as we hit the break, they are trending down. Do you have much faith or confidence that this is a contending team?
Well, if you just trust your lying eyes, then no. Because it's just one game after the other. They play a solid game, then they put a stinker out on the ice. And the lack of winning streaks and the number of losses that have piled up on the season really dictates that, you know, they're going to be lucky to be a wild card team, going to be lucky to make the playoffs. I think what you're talking about, you only subtract a couple guys, a goalie and two forwards. And, you know, David Perron probably has filled the role of Troy Brouwer. You maybe haven't replaced the production of a David Backes. You definitely haven't replaced the level of play that Brian Elliott produced down the stretch and in the playoffs. It's hard to imagine that just tinkering with a couple guys affects the entire, you know, 24, 25-man roster and the level of play. It's hard to believe that those guys were the linchpin holding everything together. Combine that, though, with the turmoil behind the bench, the situation where the coach in waiting is looking over the old coach's shoulder. It definitely has been a frustrating season, and I think Blues fans are ready for the other shoe to drop. I think people are waiting on a Kevin Shattenkirk trade. Yeah. They're waiting on, okay, is Hitchcock going to finish out the season, or are they going to go ahead and make the transition sooner? I think everyone is expecting a move to spark something to try to finish strong down the stretch and then see what happens in the playoffs. And the ever-optimistic Blues fan says, you know, two times the Kings have won the Stanley Cup, and they were the eighth seed at the time. They're the only eighth seed that's ever won, and it's only ever happened twice, but you get in and you never know what happens.
Bradley, St. Louis game time, and joining us here for the second time this week on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. We've enjoyed him having him on, and I wanted to get your perspective as we head into the break, and unfortunately do so on the heels of that performance in Minnesota. Brad, appreciate the time, sir. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend, man.
Hey, thanks. You too.
Bradley Lee, St. Louis game time with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, the Ryan Kelly Morning After. I feel like what he expressed that Blues fans are experiencing right now, that's where I would characterize my emotions, that I feel like, yeah, it's kind of like, unfortunately, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. The Shattenkirk move feels inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
The Hitchcock situation, I don't know if I would necessarily describe it as inevitable. I think they would like to avoid having his tenure end getting whacked with 25 games or so left.
Yeah, I don't think
that. But what buttons, you know, if they trade Shattenkirk, it's not going to be to jumpstart him this year, I don't think, because you're not going to get that type of player in return at this point. So if you're the Blues and you're like, we need something, you only have limited numbers of buttons to push, Hitch could be in there. I hope that's not the case.
I don't think they do that.
You don't?
I think what they need is a goalie. They need somebody to stop the puck every now and then. That's been the biggest problem here the last month and a half.
Guys, I like this Brad Lee fella. Keep him as a regular, please. Good day to all. Doug, that's from the Bo Weevil of Bevo Mill.
Okay.
When do we get Bo Weevils?
When do we get a guy to come on and he's not told to drink bleach? So
that is rare.
Most Brad Lee's doing a good job.
Texters, one of our listeners. Well, then you have this guy is an idiot. Sounds like you thought the Blues were at home and that you pull goalies when the game is close. That's from the 314. So
there we go. Yeah. That's more like it.
Take your
shots, please. He probably looks like a shark.
Sorry. All right, Bradley does not look like a hammerhead shark.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
No.
Iggy Buck Swope texted me, and he said, it's like Prod Joe's lack of self-awareness is in Iggy's body and running around here ensuring the joke will live forever. Buck Swope. Dougie hosts Swope's Picks.
I know.
Saturday.
Shutter Spook.
12 o'clock.
Well, I respect Swope. I don't know what that means, but I respect it.
I think he says if you make too big of a deal out of it, then people won't let it go.
I don't believe I made a big deal out of it. I just explained myself why I dumped 22 porn stars on
the big deal.
Yesterday.
That's the big deal.
It shouldn't be a big
people
deal.
People couldn't handle all those names.
Yeah, I saw.
Just
sorry.
Immediately.
Yeah, just, especially, it was an overload. I know one guy said, what am I going to do now? I'm going to be Raw.
No, Matt,
which I thought was
Matt
funny.
Kevin didn't like it.
I did too.
Kind of a fun story here. Selena Gomez and The Weeknd made out by a dumpster in Santa Monica, and now they're following each other on Instagram.
Who's they? Who's you just the said she made out with The Weeknd.
There's some guy whose nickname is The Weeknd.
The Weeknd?
Yeah, The Weeknd.
Who is it?
I mean, he does all kinds of jams, yo.
Like what?
Starboy.
He's a rapper?
I would say more
singer.
Hip-hop R&B.
Yeah, R&B. I think that's
right, so now
smoothed
we
out hip-hop on with the R&B tip, with the yeah. pop appeal, the pill.
Okay,
it.
That's enough.
All right, so now we know, Doug, who they're talking about. But the big story is they now follow each other on Instagram.
That's
Can
even,
you imagine
that's
that?
Even bigger than making out by the dumpster.
Well, I have sources, though, bro. This, of course, comes from us.
You're hearing. You're hearing.
No, cosmopolitan.com.
Right. If you're a big star, you're supposed to say, I'm hearing.
For starters, the one they call Abel, quote, really, end quote.
George Abel was the voice of wrestling at the Chase for years. They did that
different
right
guy.
At the Coruscant room.
Different
the
guy. Starboy. Right. Let me... And in Van. Two, for starters, the one they call Abel, quote, really, unquote, likes Selena.
All right, I don't like this story at all.
George Abel out of it.
So much that the two, quote, text every day, end quote. While the insider didn't get into contents of the texts, song lyrics, funny gifs of baby animals, a link to climate change articles, the individual stands by the claim that the two are, quote, just having fun, end quote, and, quote, enjoying each other.
Well, that is so cool. When you're a celebrity like that and you're just having fun, that is just the coolest thing. When you actually are starting to date someone and you text back and forth, that is just so darn cool.
I thought she
and
was
unusual.
Dating.
I don't think anyone else would do that.
Doug, but wait a minute. When you stop at the gas station on the way home and get your Chex Mix, what yep. are you doing? You're just having fun.
I'm just really just kind of having fun. Just letting my hair down a little bit.
I thought he was dating that Habib chick.
Gigi or Bella?
Bella Habib, I think.
They're fine.
She is.
Doug, this report comes 2 weeks after TMZ unveiled photos of Selena and The Weeknd kissing by a dumpster.
Why by the dumpster? She's a multimillionaire, right?
Well, they were at Giorgio Baldi in Santa Monica.
Okay, but the dumpster?
Nice dumpster. Santa Monica dumpsters are...
And now they're exchanging Insties?
Well, a lot of drama went down in the days that followed We Hear, but...
We Hear.
In other words, we're making this up, but we'll say something so general that it's probably true. Like, oh, they're actually exchanging texts.
But well, it seems like the couple of the hour have moved on. They follow each other on Instagram now.
What?
Which means they're on their way to making things Instagram official. No.
What are you reading?
Who are they writing this for? Who would read that and say this?
I'll
is
bet
just,
a lot of people read that and think
really
it's compelling.
Juicy.
AM sports talk shows.
I guess. I just can't imagine what age level they're looking to attract with this sort of article.
You read that kind of stuff and then you wonder why Christine and Gracia hangs up on us. That's the kind
Twice.
Of thing.
Not once.
And they've the text also... line is full of dumpster references.
They've also resurfaced in Hollywood, TMC reports, hanging out with pals at Dave and Buster's,
just
as you do
fun.
On a brisk weeknight in January. If you,
that is so cool. Doggone it. That's why we couldn't make it in Hollywood. We would have never thought to do anything on a
There's
brisk
a Dave and
January.
Buster's in St. Charles, isn't there? Is that Mary
I take Tyler there all the time.
You ever see The Weeknd or Selena there
Earth
by the
City.
Dumpster?
No. I've never seen them.
If you are friends with Jaden Smith and French Montana, who are at the hang... Please ask them about Abilina because the world needs to
I'm
know.
I'm not going to ask anything because I don't know who any of them are.
It's written by a 15-year-old. It's written by a 15-year-old girl who couldn't get a job at the school newspaper, so they got her on a website blog, and she's making stuff up.
It was actually written by Peggy Trong.
I rest my case.
Who has one follower that we both follow... And that, of course, is former President Barack Obama. What in the hell just happened? And Obama's not like Phil Ivey and Jose Bautista, who follows everyone. He picks and chooses.
He needs that kind of information.
He follows. Well, he does follow 632,000 people, but he has 83.6 million. And one of the people he's following is to get the latest dish from Peggy Trong. Well, that was good dish, though. Mm. Sea Monster, why did that get included in the links? I loved it, but I'm surprised that he said, oh, I got to send that over to
Why'd you send it, CZ?
He doesn't talk. Oh. Hey, we got that Scott Ogilvy joining us at 9, Mike Falk at 9:30, Bert Early Cutlery Cuts of the Week, Hot Shots email today, a Monster 9 o'clock hour, Ryan Kelly morning after.